Recorded Books presents The Witches at the End of the World by Chelsea Iverson. Narrated by Liz Pierce and Amy Scanlon.
For sisters everywhere, especially mine.
Finnmark, Norway, autumn 1677. Minna. For the living, death is a scar. It's always there, a raised bump just above the surface of your skin. You run your finger over it once in a while when you're not thinking, and the pain of how it got there comes searing back. When the person you loved died a cold, normal death, I guess the scar is a sad reminder. But when the person you love burned at the stake, that scar is something much more powerful. That's why Mormor's death surprises me so much. Until now, I thought dying was all torture and fire and screams. At least I thought that was how it was for witches. It never occurred to me that a witch could die peacefully in her sleep. But overnight, death came tiptoeing into our little hut, hidden away in the birchwood. A neighbor we didn't invite, but who arrived anyway, even through all our protections and enchantments. There was no fire. There were no bone-shattering screams, no eyes like ice against the flames. Death came quietly, with no pain. Kaya and I made sure of that. When death comes for me eventually, I know I won't be so lucky. It will come for me the way it did for Mama. The clouds are grey and the sun is hiding, maybe out of respect. Maybe out of fear. Mormor will soon be on her way up there, and she can be wild when she wants to be. The birch trees around us flicker a burning orange. We bury her with her head facing north, and I do most of the work, though Kaya makes it look like she's helping. She's lost in thought as I finish covering the grave, and then kneel on the soft scrub. Wipe my hands on my skirt, and pull what we need from my belt. The knife, the jet-black feather, and the rune stone. I'm sure she's sad, but there is magic to do, a soul to take care of. My skin lights up with the itch now. The witch inside knows what's coming, and she's delighted. But this little bit of soul magic is nothing compared to what I need her for later. I scratch at my wrist to keep her quiet for now. Kaya stands next to me, and I get the sense she doesn't know what to do. I glare up at her until she notices I'm on the ground, ready to do the ritual. She blinks, then pulls out her own rune stone and her own raven feather. I finally catch her eye and try to hand her the knife. She shakes her head, something pleading on her face. Of course she doesn't want to do it. I knew she wouldn't. But I thought maybe, because it was Mormor, she might find the strength in her somewhere. I palm the hilt of the knife. It's warm from my body, and I know the shape of it as well as I know the shape of anything. I press the sharp end to my left shoulder. Taking your own blood should happen in one swift motion, a dig and swipe, if you do it right. Right away, I feel the liquid trickling down my arm. We must work quickly now. I made the cut, but I won't be putting it onto Kaya's runestone. She can do that herself. Really, she should put her own blood on there. The more witch blood, the better, is what I think. But we only need mine. We smear our stones, and the shapes carved on them soak up the blood. Both are the same. A straight line scratched down the center. A point.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?